It was disconcerting to see the sun arc in less than a minute. To see a snail race by. My flowers flinging wide their petals to embrace the new day. And the hours speeding across the face of my sundial. And the flowers closing their eyes for the night. It was wonderful. And as yet I was traveling very slowly. What if I went faster?
So here's the idea. Imagine we could have Rod Taylor's time machine. Imagine if we could go back in time, just like Rod did, and we could visit some of our Bible characters and ask them, how did they find God? Where was his address? We could go back and talk to Adam and say, Adam, where's God's address? And he would say, well, we used to talk together in the garden. Over there, that garden over there, but since me and the missus have been kicked out, this big angel won't let me back in again now. And since then, I don't really know him anymore, and I don't really talk to him anymore. I don't know where his address is. We could also ask Moses where God's address is, and he would say, well, he inhabits that big mountain over there, and I go up from time to time to talk to him, and he does really cool tricks with burning bushes and lightning and everything like that. And so we could also talk to King David and say, King David, where's God's address? And he would tell us he lives in a box in the temple called the Ark of the Covenant, but that box is now lost in the desert somewhere and I haven't seen him since. And there he is, old. And we could ask Jesus, couldn't we? We could go back to the historical time of Jesus and say, Jesus, where is God? The disciples asked this very same question of Jesus, and the answer is found in John chapter 14, verses 15 to 20. It says, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, or another counselor, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world at large cannot receive him because it is not looking for him and does not recognize him. But you do. Because he lives with you now and later he will live in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. In just a little while, the world will not see me again, but you will, for I will live again and you will too. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. So, where is God's address? Where you are. Where you are. You are where God's address is. The Bible says that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 declares, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? So this is a powerful truth revealed. God dwells in his believers, true Christians, his children, not in buildings, not in stained glass windows, not in idols, not in candles. So what's the eye opener this morning to this powerful truth? Well, it's no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the problems, God is right with you in every moment. In every area of your life, God is right with you. So that means God is interested in every area of your life, the little things, the big things. When you lose your house keys, who does that? It's all right to pray to find your house keys when you lose your mobile phone, your glasses, yes. What I pray to get a car spot at Woodgrove or down at Water Gardens. Why not? God's with me. Sometimes Giselle, I won't tell you what Giselle calls me, but the first word starts with Tim. He's worried. He's with you. How you feel, whether you're feeling happy or sad, about your family, your friends, anything and everything. So the power demonstrated in the Bible is for you. Matthew 17:20 says, Jesus told them, I assure you, even if you had faith the size or as small as a mustard seed, you could ask this mountain, move from here to there, and it would. Nothing would be impossible. So let's get back to our text, which said Jesus saw a great crowd. And testing Philip said, we need to get some food for these people. So let's look at Philip's reaction, given that what we have just said and what we've just talked about. His reaction to Jesus, or Jesus' question, is all the money in the world won't buy a chicken nugget for these people. Are you crazy, Jesus? Have you counted the crowd? It's impossible. There's 5,000 men besides women and children. Philip's faith was fleshy. It was mindless. It was carnal. He believed in himself. He believed in his own efforts. He believed in the restrictions of his own reasoning. Circumstances overtook him and ran away with him, and he basically had a hissy fit at the situation. Who's ever had a hissy fit when circumstances have overtaken you, huh? We all have, haven't we? We have to admit to that. Even Emily has, and she's saying no to me right now. We all have to admit we've had hissy fits when circumstances just totally overwhelm us. I remember when I first became a Christian, when I first got saved, I really believed in myself. I was self-sufficient, self-dependent. For good or bad, I was all that I needed in my life. But as a Christian, I brought that trait of my past life into my new life as a newborn Christian. And I would hold back from God, and I would only allow God to deal with the small things in my life. But the larger problems, mainly me and my attitudes, the big things, I would try and take care of myself. In other words, I would figure out this Christian thing, I thought, all by myself. And I didn't need to yield my life to God. I just need to work it out like a puzzle, like a jigsaw puzzle or something like that. The word surrender comes to mind, surrendering to all the possibilities that God has. And this is something that Philip is struggling with in the text. So the question that we must stop and ask ourselves is, do we have a faith of Philip, a fleshy faith, a mindless or carnal faith? Philip would have seen many, many miracles before. Sometimes just like Philip, we have let circumstances overcome us, or we let the circumstances overcome us. And many times in our peanut-sized heads, we let God... we make God so small. We put God in a box. God is too small to overcome these huge problems that we have in our life. And we simply just limit him. And we put God in a box. Andrew comes on the scene in verses 8 and 9. The Bible says, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? You can imagine Philip's reaction as he stands at the sidelines, watching the whole thing play out. Oh, great. It'd be like the Grey Wiggle, wouldn't it, on the television ad. Oh, great. Give me a break, Andy. You're just as crazy as Jesus offering up a small boy's lunch. We all know what happened next. The story goes on, and Jesus uses a small boy's lunch to perform one of the greatest miracles. The New Testament tells us, feeding 5,000 men besides women and children. Some estimate between 15 to 20,000 mouths that were fed that day. So we need to develop and stretch our faith this morning. develop and stretch out character. Like Andrew, not like Philip, but like Andrew. Jesus' words in this gospel story not only tested Philip 2,000 years ago, but they test us today as well. Now, if you pay close attention to the story, you would have noticed that Andrew gave Jesus something to work with. Now, it wasn't perfect. It wasn't complete. In fact, it was incomplete and it was inadequate. But he gave it, and he offered it in faith. He offered the faith that he had. What does Andrew say? But how far will they go amongst so many? There's another man who came to Jesus with the same posture of faith. He came to Jesus wanting his son healed. He came to Jesus wanting a miracle. He came to Jesus desperate and broken. We find him in Mark chapter 9, verse 22 to 24. It says, the man says, but if you can do anything, have compassion. We heard that word compassion last week, didn't we? When Jesus had compassion. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. So he offered Jesus something to build with, something to build on. It was incomplete, but Jesus made something out of it, and Jesus changed that situation dramatically. And many times we have only the bread and sardines to offer Jesus. Jesus, the problem is too big, but I have this bread and sardine solution. Our faith can be as small and as incomplete as a small boy's lunch, or as small and incomplete as a mustard seed. The problem, the situation of life, in life and of life, can knock us for six many times. But we serve a mighty God who can take a small boy's lunch and feed a huge crowd of people. So, Philip said, the problem's too big, and was prepared to walk away from a miracle. Andrew said, give this a go, Jesus, it may work. And his faith was involved in one of the greatest miracles of the Bible. Because Andrew knew God's address. Jesus was right there in their midst. Today, God's address is the same, right with you. Romans 8:11 says, the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you. So Jesus wants to get involved in your life. He is the comforter, John says. Book of Proverbs says he will stick closer than a brother. So as we close, there are some questions and statements to think about and to ponder. Where is God's address? Do you know where God's address is? Romans 8:11 says, let me double check my scriptures. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So, do we need to deal with some unchristian habits, perhaps? Clean out that temple. Carnal, worldly faith or head knowledge of God, that will not see the extraordinary, the supernatural. The God of the Bible is bigger than the problems or anything that you are going through right now. There is no sin too big that God can't forgive. Do you have the kind of faith that God can use? That's a really important question to ask yourself. Do you have the kind of faith that God can use? And do you live your life knowing that God's address is your address? I'll leave you with those questions as we close this part of the service. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your glorious gospel that shows us the glory of our Christian life. Lord, I pray that as we ponder these words, that we would indeed start to see your address is our address. We would start to live our life in the knowledge that you live with us and in us. and say, Lord, in Jesus' name, help us to grow into that knowledge.